Well, I appreciate that song. I feel like it will go well with the message the Lord has given to me today. I desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless this in these moments that we have here today. Title of a little burden, as best I could title it, is He Delivered His Strength. He delivered His strength. Everything that God does, He does from a standpoint of His love. God is love. When God created man in the garden, He gave every one of us a will, the ability to choose. And I hope that by the end of this morning service, that we will be both challenged and encouraged. I want us to be encouraged to live for the Lord. I want us to be encouraged to invite Him into your heart. I want us to be encouraged to link arm in arm with the Lord and be workers together with Him. In the book of Isaiah, I began reading a few scriptures here. I have three passages I'd like to read this morning. One's a little lengthy. But Isaiah 45, beginning with verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, when we read this little passage, create evil, there is no evil in God. What this means is adversity. Adversity. That's what this means. Not wickedness, but adversity. All right? In this passage, it is reinforcing who God is, a little bit about His attributes. I form the light and create darkness. This God that you have heard us talk about here from this pulpit is this magnificent God, only one God, that it has the ability to create. Anything that mankind has done to invent or to create in his own mind comes from those things that God has already established. Comes from those things that God has given to man, the abilities that He has given to man to think, to process, to reason, to use the resources that God has made available to mankind to create things, if you will give that broad liberty to use the word create. Mankind invents things and he's able to come up with things that is far beyond my imagination, but it comes from one source. God has given the resources and the ability. It only comes from Him. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I form the light, create darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is an almighty God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, an all-wise God. Everything that we see around us comes from a source. Nothing can exist in and of itself. It has to have a beginning. There has to be a beginning. God is the beginning of everything. You can't form something from nothing. There has to be a source. God is the source. All right. In the book of Psalms, chapter 78, I'd like to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 56. Psalm 78, beginning with 56. This psalm is really kind of a history, if you read the entire psalm. It is a history of God's dealings with His people. The good and the bad. Those who He made covenant with, and then those who remembered His covenant, those who forgot His covenant, how they treated Him, how they rebelled against Him, things of that nature. And then, beginning with this 56th verse, we'll read five or six verses here, Psalm 78. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places, moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, He was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which He placed among them, and delivered His strength into captivity, and His glory into the enemy's hand. Now, we just read in the book of Isaiah about this God who speaks through Isaiah about His powerful power, about His might, about His magnificence, about His ability to create light, darkness, those things. We just spoke in that book of how mighty this God is. And then we read in this psalm that He delivered His strength into captivity. Now this phrase, delivered His strength, is specifically referring to the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, the purpose of the Ark was to contain the two tables, or the covenant that God gave to Moses on Sinai. It also contained the pot of manna and the rod of Aaron. The rod of Aaron was a significant rod because it was the one that was that budded. It was left a dry rod in the corner, and it came back the next day, and who the Lord was going to choose, the priest. And Aaron's rod was the one that had budded. So Aaron's rod was placed in the ark. And if you remember correctly, the way that the temple structure and the articles were fashioned, that the Ark of the Covenant also had the mercy seat. The mercy seat was, if you will, the lid that sat over the Ark of the Covenant. And above the mercy seat were the cherubims. And in the description of the cherubims' wings touched overhead, and the tips of their wings came out to the sides of the curtain of the most holy place. And this, when this was being constructed, and when the Lord was given to Moses how to form all of these articles, Moses relayed these instructions. He said, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. The ark was a very valuable piece of furniture that the Israelites placed high significance on, and they ought to. Because different times through the scriptures, when the ark moved, the people moved. When the ark was in battle and was being moved forward, then there was prospering in the battle. But this time, this is speaking about, He delivered His strength into captivity. I'd like to read a little bit about this ark and this occasion that is being spoken of here. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 4. What the psalmist is speaking about, he delivered His strength into captivity. 1 Samuel chapter 4, this is a little bit of a lengthy passage, but if you'll stay with me, please. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. This is the significance, folks, of the ark. Samuel sat watching, and said his heart trembled for the ark of God. There was a special It's hard for us to imagine the significance that was placed on this article, but there was a special significance to it. It was the power of God. It was a resembling of the power of God. So Eli, his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" The man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" The messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he had made mention of the ark of God, that he, or Eli, fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." This was a blow to the Israelites. For their enemies to take, to capture the ark of the Lord, it was a blow. It was the power of God to them. And now it was removed out of their midst. How could such a thing happen? How could such a thing happen with this Almighty God who is in control of all things, who creates and destroys and causes there to be victories and causes there to be earthquakes to open up and swallow things, people, armies, hornets to come in and cause there to be disruption in the armies? How could it be that this God, this article, could be captured by the enemy? It's because He delivered it that way. God delivered it that way. He delivered His strength. He delivered His strength into captivity, and He hid His glory in the enemy's hand. Now, it's hard for us sometimes to really fathom that kind of a thing. This God that we serve, this God that we love, this God that we worship, delivering His strength. But we've talked about it here several times, and I want to talk about it a little bit more this morning. And I pray that when we're done, we can be encouraged. Again, let's remember that everything that God does is out of a heart of love, because God is love. And God limits His rule of many things because He is love. In that garden scenario, where God created Adam and Eve, and He gave them their ability to make choice, and He pointed to them to this tree, and He said, "Don't go near this tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat of the fruit of it. Because the day that you do it, you'll die." So they had understanding of what God's command was. God's desire was that they would love Him so much that they would not partake of that fruit. But He loved them so much that He gave them the ability to choose. There are a lot of things that this kind of concept opens up in my mind. If there's no movement or flexibility or in the sovereignty or the will of God, then what would be the purpose of prayer? Why would I pray, "Thy will be done," since God's will be done even without our prayer? If we know, and we do know, that ultimately God has control of everything, so why then, and it's just for thought, why then do we pray? He's in control of everything, is He not? He sees everything. He knows everything about you, your thoughts, your intents, your motives. He knows every affliction. He knows every trial. He knows when you have expended every resource that you have at your hand. He knows all of those things. Why do I go to Him in prayer? If I see that those things are the case, if I know that those things are the case, if I know that this God who sees and knows all things has all power, why pray? What's the point of prayer? Is He not able just to come down and change circumstances? Of course He is. But He delivered His strength. He delivered His strength. Either the will of God is not omnipotent, which is something almost intolerable to think about, that He's not capable of doing everything that He will. Because in the heart of the child of God, we look to this God as being the one who has all power, who moves and changes every circumstance. And we believe that. We embrace that. We have faith. We embrace that. Or else, because of His wise and holy purposes, that when God is dealing with mankind, He just doesn't totally exercise His sovereign will. He delivers some of that strength into captivity. To who? You and me. Have you ever thought of that? God, do you mean that you deliver your strength? You're unwilling to just unleash all of your power and your strength because you love so much that you honor the will of mankind? That's why we pray. Because we have discovered that there is a part of God that He looks and He respects and He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. When we go to Him in prayer, we're free. We're not mechanical. One radio commentator has talked about it, used the phrase, mind-numbed robots. We're not mind-numbed robots in service to the Lord. What if this world was created where it was impossible to sin? Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? If it were just impossible to have sin, wouldn't that be a wonderful place? Or would it be? Because if there was no capability for there to be wickedness or evil, then we wouldn't see the contrast. And you and I wouldn't know how to reach out or speak to souls who are in need, being a part of co-workers, fellow laborers with the Lord in His plan and His desire. All of this scheme is His, folks. All of the plan belongs to the Lord. And in His wisdom and in His knowledge of all of these things, He delivered a portion of His power and His wisdom because of His heart of love. He delivered His power. He delivered His strength to the abilities of humanity, to a portion of it to allow us to have a part to play in this work. We have the ability to choose. Would it be wonderful to have no exercise of free will? If you were just created with no ability to think for yourself or choose, just created for no other purpose than to just do whatever somebody could bid you to do, would that be so wonderful? Where would the blessing come when you make the good choice? Because you just make good choices all the time. Because there is nothing in you that causes you to do something that would be contrary to God. But when we have free will, when God delivers a portion of His strength to let us exercise that free will, then we receive benefit of the blessing from that one with whom we are co-workers. fellow laborers with Him of His purpose. If God's will was so sovereign, how could we ever be workers together with Him? I want to share this little story, something that just happened just very recently. And I figure you've had this same thing happen to you at some point in life. Just recently, Brother Bob came to me because he's the one that takes up he receives the offerings as they come in, and he counts those, and then he's the one that fills out the financial reports and who gives me the offering that the congregation puts in the box. And he came to me just recently after the offering had been taken up. But occasionally, someone will miss the offering and they'll either put it in the box or come to him with what they intended to give. And he came to me with a $500 check. He said this came in after the offering was taken up, and this is part of that most recent pastor offering. I said, well, thank the Lord. Had some extra expenses lately. One of it was because of a foolish mistake on my part. I have to pay quarterly estimates to the IRS. I forgot one. Yeah. I forgot to pay one of my quarterly estimates. I still had to pay it. You don't just not pay it. So I had to pay double on the next one. Well, that wasn't all figured into the budget. For some reason, it was forgotten. Foolish mistake on my part. And back in November, some of you remember, I had a little situation where I dropped a ball joint on my truck and did some damage. And it did some damage to the body of the truck. And as far as I know, the only people that are aware of the deductible is my insurance company, my wife and myself, and the body shop. My deductible is $500. I don't know who gave the $500. I don't know if it was one person, or five people, or 10 people. It doesn't matter to me. But what matters to me is this portion of it, folks. That when we are fellow laborers with God, who delivered a portion of His strength to you to help Him accomplish His work in this world, be encouraged. He wants to use you in His service. He will use you in His service in ways that you don't understand, that you don't know. Those of you, whoever it was, that came with a late contribution to the pastor's offering, had no idea, had no idea that I had a $500 deductible on my insurance. I had to file a claim. And I got a check. 500.00. Those things are too much for me to figure out, folks. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. It all belongs to God, because when we realize that God was willing on that day when the Israelites, it looked like absolute total disaster. Eli fell backwards off the chair, broke his neck, and died. Hophni and Phinehas were killed. The wife of Phinehas gave early birth to her child. She passed away. That looked like absolute disaster. And it was a disaster to those looking on. It hurt for those looking on. The ark of God has been taken from us. Our hopes are dashed. We have nothing before us. But God allowed that thing to happen. The Scripture tells us in Psalms that He delivered His strength. Now, God could have stepped in and caused there to be hornets. He could have caused fire to fall down from heaven. He could have caused hailstones, as He had and has done. But He didn't. In that case, He didn't. He allowed it to be delivered. His strength, His power, the emblem of His might was captured for the benefit of humanity and the benefit of us today, so that we might be workers together with Him. This almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God that creates light and darkness, out of a heart of love, delivers a portion of His power to you and me so we can share with His work. Read a little story to you. This was referenced in our last Wednesday evening service. It's a story about George Mueller. This is just a little excerpt. The children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat, the house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. "There is no food," remember she said. "There is no food." He thanked God for the food and waited. He knew God would provide food for the children, as He always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I'll bring it in." How would he know? How would he know? He would know because God... Now listen. Could not God cause there to be loaves of bread to appear on every child's plate? Couldn't he? Of course he could. Of course he could cause there to be a slice of bread, a loaf of bread to appear on every child's plate. But did he? No. What did he do? He put it on the heart of another man that couldn't sleep during the night and said, "I don't know what this is about, but somehow Mr. Mueller is going to need bread in the morning, so I'm going to get up and bake bread." So he did. "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night, and somehow I knew that you would need bread." Folks, that's how it works usually. All right, here's some more. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. Have you ever reached into an empty pocket and pulled out a $100 bill from an empty pocket? I have not. But what I have done is received a knock at the door. "Brother Michael, the Lord said He wanted me to come do this and give this to you." $500 deductible? Sure, I could have scratched around and gotten that. Sure, I could have produced a $500 deductible. But I think the Lord wanted me to see more than that. His power. Every time, folks, that you and I are involved in reaching out to our fellow man, remember, you are an extension of the hand of God.
And when we do those things, folks, remember who we're working with. Workers together with Him. We're workers together with Him. And I want us to be encouraged today. Don't forget. Don't just slight that still small voice. When the Lord, you feel, speaks to you. Just recently we heard again in a prayer meeting service how that God put on the heart of someone totally outside of the box of their normal routine to make a phone call to someone that they never contact by phone. Made a phone call and said, I don't understand all of this, but the Lord gave me the words of this song. He wanted me to call you. And when the transaction was complete, who was the cause of it all? God. Why? Because I needed something. And God didn't just choose to drop this song into my heart or drop this $100 bill into my pocket or create before my very eyes a loaf of bread. No, God chose to use you to knock on my door. Mr. Mueller, I got some bread because I couldn't sleep last night. And Lord, I believe, let me know that you were going to need this. Knock, knock, knock. Mr. Mueller, the wagon on my... the wheel of my wagon broke down. I've got milk that's about to spoil, and if I don't use it, it's going to go bad. Do you need some milk? Oh, yeah. Folks, yes. This God that you and I serve has all power, sees all things, knows all things, is able to cause things to happen, is able to create the loaf of bread or cause you to deliver a loaf of bread. The working's the same. The end result's the same, is it not? The loaf of bread is provided. But so this man, Mr. Mueller, could get a blessing from the man who delivered the bread, and the man who got up and baked the bread and delivered the bread could get a blessing because he followed through. He could walk in there, Mr. Mueller, I don't know if Mr. Mueller told him or not, but he could walk in and say, Mr. Mueller could say, sir, see these children? We got up this morning, and the mistress of the kitchen said, Mr. Mueller, there's no food. We don't have any bread. See, they're empty plates. This is what we had. But because you obeyed the voice of the Lord, these children have bread. I'll tell you, folks, we cannot underestimate the power of this God whom we serve. When we think that we have it all figured out, when we think that we know how it's going to work, remember we serve one who is greater than us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're higher. They're higher than our thoughts and higher than our ways. So that when this God begins to work on the hearts of individuals and causes there to be movement and stirring amongst His people, we ought to thank God for it. Thank God for it, folks. And the reason we have these things is because He delivered His strength. He was willing to deliver His strength. Is He able to do it? Yes. But how does He do it? Thank God, I've heard Sister Karen mention many times in her messages and how we miss her. She would say, God uses human instrumentality. I've heard her say that in messages and I've heard her say that in private conversations. He uses human instrumentality. He uses you to accomplish His purpose in the plan of His work, in His world, toward the human beings that He has created. Folks, be encouraged. Fellow workers with the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.